Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, brother.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank God for being here another day. Thank God for just bringing us to where He has brought us to. I pray all is well with everyone. I just pray that you have a blessed day in the Lord this day. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank and we praise you for another day. We thank and we praise you for your abundant blessings. We thank and praise you for the overflow. We thank and praise you for life everlasting, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Father God, as we open up your word and share your word with your people, I ask that you open our understanding, open our ears that we may hear in our heart to receive your word. Father God, right now we bind every hindering spirit that's coming against your word. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you right now. So I just want to thank God again for being here today. And like last week, I was sharing with you about the word of God. There's nothing more powerful than the word of God. And he has given us the ability to speak things. And we must be mindful of what we speak. Before I got saved, I used to say some crazy stuff. But I was blinded at that time. And it's only by his grace and his mercy that I am where I am now. But what I want to do right now, I want to start in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and the 33rd verse. And it's saying the destiny of our words. But giving a little background in it, going back to the 24th verse, that's when the Pharisees had told Jesus, say, he casting out the devil by the devil. So Jesus Christ had explained that thing. One thing, Jesus didn't play. You know, Jesus would say something. He already knew what he was trying to dig out of people. And he'll say something just to get a response from people. But they telling Jesus, well, you know, he's casting out the devil by the devil. So Jesus said, well, if I'm casting out the devil by the devil, well, the devil's kingdom is divided, and the kingdom divided will not stand. And as I was reading this today, it came to me. I said, every marriage couple need to understand that scripture. Anyone, a kingdom, your marriage, any relationship that is divided, you're fighting against one another, it will not last. It won't last. It's coming down. That's what, as I was reading it, you know, I said, you know something? We, as married people, we need to understand that. We need to be on one accord, working together for the will of God. But anyway, he had told him, when he had made that statement, he told him a house divided against itself won't stand. But then when we go on over here to the 33rd verse, he said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree, the person, which is the tree, is known by the fruits, the words that they speak. Saints, I've always had this saying, but since I got saved, I had this saying, that when a person talks, let them talk. Don't get shocked, don't get surprised. If you let them talk, whatever in their heart coming out, you'll find out where they're located at. Just let them talk. And that's what this scripture was telling us. One minute they was calling Jesus, he's the Son of God, he's this, he's that, he's awesome, he's, you know. The next minute, they coming against him. So Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. You go either make your mind up, you going to make this tree good, or its fruits good, or you going to make the tree bad, or its fruits bad. But you need, because you're inconsistent with what you're saying. Jesus Christ, listen, saints. It says the fruit of Jesus' ministry had been good. He had healed the sick, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, and had cast out demons and raised the dead? Could a corrupt tree have performed such good fruit? Ultimately, that is impossible. Why then did they stubbornly refuse to acknowledge Jesus Christ? Because, see, Jesus Christ came on the scene turning their boat upside down. They've been laying burdens and all kinds of things on the people, but they wouldn't do themselves. See, they like to look pious and talk good, but they was laying all kinds of burdens on the people. And so the reason was that they were blood of vipers. That's what he called them, vipers. Their malice against the Son of Man, evidenced by the venomous word. Listen, it was evident. See, your words will give evidence to who you are. See? So it was evidence by their venomous words was an overflow of their evil hearts. A heart filled with goodness will be evidenced by words of grace and righteousness. A wicked heart expresses itself in blasphemy, bitterness, and abuse. We have to be mindful what we speak and what we say. Our words can heal, it can comfort, it can encourage, exalt. Our words could do so much good. But then, saints, on the other hand, our words can bring damage to a person's life. It really can. Regardless of, before I got saved, I lived a totally different life. Okay? Somebody was praying for me. It was a young man. He was younger than me. I never seen a man. This guy knew I wasn't saved. I know God had to bring this young man in my life. And it was back in 1980. To this day, me and him, he live in Atlanta now, but to this day, me and him talk. He's younger than me, but I call him my father. Spiritually, in the gospel. I seen this young brother live a life that I never seen him, and he was single at the time. And I never seen him do anything contrary to the word of God. No, I never seen him do anything that make me doubt that he was a man of God. I never heard him. I used to pick on him. And he was just as humble. And I said, man, there's got to be a God. He was always, because of him, God brought me in. And I thank God for that. Because of his lifestyle and because his conversation, it was righteous and it was edifying. The 34th, that's when Jesus said, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaketh. Saints, we got to guard our hearts. We have to. We have to be mindful of what's coming out of our mouth. Everything we do is that in all things, we are to glorify God. It ain't about trying to glorify the preacher, the pastor, the deacon, the elder. It ain't about that. It's about glorifying God. God will tell you to go to the left, one to go to the right. It's not for me. We can be in the same ministry, under the same pastor. God will speak to your heart and tell you to go one way and tell me to go another way. It ain't for me to tell you. God didn't tell you that. That's not. We ought to have an ear to hear God and a heart to obey God. We have to. We got so many voices out there, and it's a pull on the church. And it's coming. It ain't the people. It's the spirit behind the people. Same whole job is to water down. Once the word ain't the word no more, people can't get saved. If you're not preaching the gospel of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, how can anyone get saved? The word of God tells me, says, we are drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. That's how we're drawn. I can come up with any program I want. But if the Spirit ain't doing the work, it ain't gonna last. The only thing I hear so many people say in the church, we got to come up with a program. We got to bring some youth into the church. Well, hey, what brought you in? Only thing we have to do is live this thing. Only thing we have to do is preach this thing. The only thing we have to do is show love. See, because love will cover a multitude of faults. And this thing is held together. It started with love. And we got to stay in love. But we got to stay in the Word of God. The Word. And it's all about the Word of God. It's a good man out of the treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart going to bring forth evil things. And how he's going to bring it forth? Through his words, through his mouth. He's going to speak it. Whenever you have a person coming to you and gossiping, always negative, be mindful of that person. Because we know the Spirit of God is loving, kind, a forgiving spirit, a loving spirit, a kind spirit, a merciful spirit. Now, if I come to you, I'm always bringing you gossip. And I'm just using you for a dump, dumping all my trash in you, filling you up with all this mess, contaminating your spirit. You need to get away from me. You really do. Or you need to tell me, brother, hold, let's talk. We're here to build one another up. We're here to encourage one another. And what you're doing is a hindrance. How are we going to be the light of the world if we speak in things contrary to the Word of God? If somebody come into the church, they've been in prison 10, 12, 20 years. And you know their background. So they're going to come into the church seeking them. And that's a refuge, okay? It's a hospital. Why should we bring up their past? Why? Because we all got a past. Each and every one of us, we wasn't born a Christian. Some of us did things the other ones didn't do. But we all was born into sin. And we all got, if we saved and been redeemed, we've been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We didn't come this, we couldn't come no other way. All of us had to come by the way of the cross. So who can we talk about? Who can we point fingers at? Saints, we got to be mindful not only of our words, but our attitude. This flesh, every day, Paul said, I die daily. You have to kill this flesh. It's a constant war going on. He saved us, but this flesh haven't been saved. It's a constant battle. And we got to stay on our knees before God. We got to stay in his word. And then we have to talk to ourselves. Because the enemy definitely going to talk to us. Then he going to send some people to whisper in our ears. We are here to glorify God. God wants the world to look at the church and see a relationship that we have with one another and that the Father has with us. It said, but I say unto you, 36th verse, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words, by your words, you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. By our words, by what we speak. And that's what's going on. He said, every idle word. I pray sometimes, Lord, help me speak today the words I only need to speak. Help me just hold my peace. Let me not just go rambling on, talking just to be talking. The words that I speak... The words I speak, I said, let them be edifying to the hearers of my word. Father God, let my words point someone to you. I love to laugh. I love to kid. But I ask, never let me make bring, put anyone down, because that's not why I'm on this earth. I encourage people. I build people up. I mean, this is the gift, but I say I do it. God gave me the gift to do it, but he's using it through me. I'm not here to tear people down. I'm here to stand with the saints of God. I'm here to stand with them against the evil one, because he's going against everything holy and everything that is of God. Satan is standing against him. Then he say, that's when he say, Jesus, by your words, you shall be justified. So that's why, saints, I said, we have to be very mindful of the words that we say. Listen to this, please, in Proverbs 15 chapter. And all these verses I'm about to read coming out of the 15th chapter. But before this, there is a verse I'm sure we all is acquainted with. It's a life, death, and life is in the power of your tongue. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. Think about it. In your tongue, your words, whatever you speak, when it's in the power of the tongue, what you speak. You can speak words of healing. That's why people say, could you pray for me? Because you can speak the words of healing over a person. If any of you is sick, you should let them send for an elder. They will come and anoint them, okay, and pray the prayer of faith. And not only will they be healed, their sins will be forgiven. Because, listen, our words have that power. We don't speak death to people. We speak death to sickness. We speak death to cancer. We speak death to sorrow. Anything that is against the cross of Christ, that's what we speak death to in a person's life. We're here to free the captive. We're here to set the people free, not to put them in bondage, not to try to control them, not to try to influence them in any way, but to free them up. Understand that they can serve God as God would have them to. And all of us, each one of us, have different callings. All of us, some have the same, but a lot of us have different callings. I can't sing. Pastor knows this sister from Georgia. She's awesome now. I can't sing a lick. That's her gift. Somebody asked me to sing, I look at them after laugh. I said, no, you don't want me singing. I can't preach like I'm not a preacher. If the Spirit lead me to do it, okay. But we all have different gifts. Use the gift God has given you. Please, use it. Give it to God. Yield to God. Submit to God. Surrender to God. And you, just give it to him and tell him, Lord, what you've given me, I give it back to you. Use it as you will. He gave Hannah praise, said, you give me a child, a male child, I give him back to you. She gave him Samuel. She came to the temple and gave him Eli and left him right there. She started having children all over the place. So whatever the gift God has given us, the talent, the gift, let's give it back to him. Okay, because this is what we've been called to do. The world's saying God is dead. The world's saying there ain't no God. The world's saying there's more than one God. The world's saying there's more than one way to God. So God want to use his church to show the world, my word is true. If you don't come by Christ, you can't even come in. But he's going to do it through the church. Proverbs 15:2 reads, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Now here's a, listen, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright. Fourth verse, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness there is in the breach is a breach of spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. When people sit, saints, when they're in trouble, when they need to get a prayer through, I can't be cursing one day and go praise God the next day. I can't curse and curse somebody out and talking all kind of foolishness. Somebody called me and said, brother, I want you to pray for me, and then I think I won't get a prayer through. That's salt water and fresh water. It ain't that way. See, Jesus did walk one way consistently doing good. He got one standard, and that's in righteousness and holiness, justice, love. That's his standards. But the world want to set standards for the church because this is a new era. This is a new generation. It might be a new generation, but we still serve Satan, serve the God of the past, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham. He haven't changed. I don't care what generation you in. They say, let me finish this up. Oh, seventh verse. The lips, when it says the lips, the words of the wise dispense knowledge. When it says the lips of the wise, the words of the wise disperse knowledge. Then it will give, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. The heart is the 14th verse. The heart of man that have understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. We have a choice to make. And life is in the power of the tongue. You choose. God gave you the choice. You can speak life or you can speak death. You can speak chaos. See, I'm saying to me, a lot of times we think it just, I can say anything and it ain't going to produce. Yes, it is. He just said life, which is good, and death, which is bad, is in the power of your tongue. Your words can heal or your words can wound. You can do good or bad with your words. Your words reveal who you are. Never forget this, please. Your words, when a person come on, say it again. Someone come to you, let them talk. Because you will see what's in their hearts. Once you see what, because whatever in their hearts coming out their mouth. Whatever in their hearts comes out their mouth. Foolishness, if foolishness wound up in them, and you be around, I need to say this, you be around people, they in church every Sunday, and they always talking foolishness, something's wrong. They're never talking about God. They never, ever, but it's all about foolishness. Something is wrong. You got to understand. We here, it was Jesus that died on the cross for us. It wasn't a man, wasn't no one, it wasn't my wife, wasn't my mother, wasn't my brothers, my sister. It was Jesus Christ. And Jesus take priority over everything and everybody. If I have to walk away from him, nothing come before Jesus Christ. And I'm not a perfect man. I have to go before him, Lord, look, I messed up. I could have thought something wrong, did something wrong. But I'm not going to premeditate sin against God. Saint, so many times I have to really struggle against and fight. It's like it's a war going on. Especially when you know somebody done did you wrong. You know you haven't did anything to them. And they want to just kick your back in, kick your back out. That flesh going to tell you to rise up. And you really going to have to pray to God. Say, Lord, I need your help. For me to let you fight this fight. For me to let you handle this thing. Lord, I need your help now. Because that flesh going to want to handle that thing itself. But we have to submit to the Spirit. And let the Spirit of God take over. Saints, more than anything, Satan trying, have entered, ain't trying. He have entered the church already. He have entered the church. He have. Don't you ever be afraid when you see something and it ain't in line with the word of God. I'll never go against a pastor. I don't care what he's doing. The pastor could be the biggest sin in the church. I will never, ever go against him. That's God's job, not mine. It's not. What I'm going to do is pack my stuff. I appreciate everything. And I'm going to leave in kindness and I'm going to leave in love. But I will never stay there and fight against a pastor, because when you do that, you causing a lot of conflict. You causing distractions. Don't you ever do that. That's very dangerous. That is, David did not raise a hand against Saul, and he could have. He's old. He's still a man of God. I don't care what he's doing. God will deal with him. Don't talk about these pastors. They belong to God, not us. We are to pray for them. And if it gets so bad, if things just went all to the left up in there, you need to leave. But we need to get in love. Stay in love. We need to be humble. And please, saints, I got to read Nehemiah. I love, I've got about a couple of minutes. Listen, read Nehemiah. I love when Nehemiah came and he went back to see about the people in Jerusalem. Listen with Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, I didn't tell nobody what God put in my heart to do. I got up that night. He said, I didn't tell the priests, the noblemen, nobody. He got up late, went and surveyed everything he had to be done, got a plan, and came back. And then he shared it with the workers. But he kept it to himself till the right time. Some things we are the whole. Something is just for us. Something is a time in the season to share it. And I'm going to be, I'm trying to say, I messed up on that end. Because I shared some things I shouldn't, and I wasn't ready to do it. Because I'm going to start a food ministry here. And I wasn't ready to do it. And everybody ready, pushing, and anxious for me to do it. So I have to tell them, no, it ain't the time yet. So everything, you have something we have to hold to ourselves. And when God releases us to do it, then we do it. There's a time and a season for everything. Guard your heart, saints. Put a watch over your mouth, please. And when we speak, we speak things edifying. We speak in love. Look in the mirror sometime and speak over your life. You release that word, put it in the atmosphere, and just release it and see what happens. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the word. I thank and I praise you that you have given us the authority and the power to use your words to do good in this earth. Right now, Father God, I ask you to send angel watch over each and every household that's under the sound of my voice. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, we thank and we praise you right now. Amen and amen.
Amen. Man, what a powerful word. What a powerful word. And I believe that what God is doing in the latter days, he's refining, refreshing, and retooling us to take charge more now than ever. The more
Amen.
We take, and I like what the elder said. He said he wasn't called to preach, but he's a teacher. He's a man that's teaching. And we can thank God for that. And I know there's a person on the line with you. 0352, would you have a word to say before we go to the next program? Our last phone number is 0352. Well, God bless you. I'm going on the next time. I'm going to go 30 minutes and we'll do the teaching. So pray for me as I go on and preach. God bless you. I'm going to move forward. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
When I take a notice what God is doing, as I come to you from the book of Jeremiah 17 and 7 and Genesis 15 and 6, occasionally, we have to see the people's face, the crowds. They come to church for a fix. They want a one-shot inspiration, and they want a religious experience. They want to do their own thing, but they don't want to do it God's way. As I was reading and studying this, and I read what Jeremiah said in 17:7, Being made happy is a person who trusts in the Lord. All this other sets and fixes, when you trust, it's a faith rest drill. Amen is a word you can use. Another word, amen. It is used for salvation by faith. Amen. And when I look at the word and keep looking at it, how many people are happy in the person who trusts in the Lord? When some people look at what's going on around them, they take notice on, oh, we gotta depend on what the government says. We got to depend on how they say. No, if God used the money in the government to bless you, God did it. But God wants you to acknowledge it was God who done it and not you. When you do what God has told you to do, everything happens. I say these words to you. A good word you can always say. Faith, amen. Faith, amen. You put yourself in a faith resting drill. Because what God said through Jeremiah, as I go through it, a religious experience is good for nothing. But when you have the supernatural Holy Ghost filled experience, you can reach out and touch and tell somebody what God is doing right now. You can go in the world, you can preach it. When I look at what Abraham, that man who believed in the Lord, and it was counted to his account for righteousness in Jeremiah 15 and 6. When I believe, he said, now I want to show you something. How much faith does it take to be saved is the question I'll ask. How much faith? And someone said, just a little bit more than it at all. In the privacy of your own soul, in the privacy of your own soul, you can speak audibly to God the Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. This is it. This is all. How much faith does it take? Don't take much faith to say that. Audibly, in your voice, in your spirit, God hears you. Jeremiah 17:7 again, I come back. See, when we look at faith, faith is a problem-solver device. It establishes values. It brings us to the Bible doctrine. It makes us applications of promises and experiences. It applies to doctrinal rationale. See, a lot of folks don't have Bible rationale. They want a reason for themselves. They don't want to take God at his word. But when you put your hope, why do you put your hope out there this minute? Nope. Hope in the Bible means confidence? Yes, it does. Why do you put your confidence in man? As my brother said earlier, I heard him, if he's still online with us, how they're using the news and down south. And he got a job up north and some things. He got the Bible has an infection. And they let him go. But he didn't put his trust in man. He kept trusting and believed what God said. See, confidence in man is being accursed. Oh, my God. Oh, yes, it is, because you're not trusting in God. Here's what, being cursed is it's a passive voice indicating that the process is just a thing, not permanent, is not happiness. Happiness is a process, being you cannot have a happiness that you don't have faith, confidence. Let me say, when you learn to apply the Bible doctrine, I'll take the B-I-B-L-N, study it. When he talked about Nehemiah, right, turn to Nehemiah, and I begin to read it. Jehovah has control. Jehovah. I begin to read it. I said, oh, my God. Jehovah. J-E-H-O-V-A. Jehovah has control. So God has a name, Jehovah, Jehovah Nitzkadu, Jehovah I Am, Jehovah the Blessed One. What he said, God is saying, when we learn to apply Bible words and doctrine, I'm going to tell you something, it takes time. Elder know and I know it takes time to all you listen. It takes time. It is a process. a little today, a little tomorrow, a little the next day. Bible teaching and doctrine with revelation every day is our life experience, our blessings, our capacity of life, our confidence, our love, our happiness. Hallelujah. See, when you look at what God is saying, again, in Jeremiah 17:7, it says this, being made happy, person who trusts in the Lord. Therefore, the word, the Lord is in his, the Lord is his confidence. The Lord is his confidence, not the pastor, not the apostle, not the prayer warrior, not the anointed one. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that you have the confidence in. And the more I have confidence what God is doing in the life we now live in. When we take something, the word, when I take the word again, confidence, to confide in what is absolute, it has a fantastic plan. It's being a part of that plan, having temporal impacts, but more important, eternal repercussions. When we take repercussions, we can always bounce back and let the devil know, you miss me, you miss me. You stop running around looking for hope. Stop it. You're looking for some person to satisfy you like a prostitute, like a homosexual, like a person. I love them. They're looking around for the hope, looking for someone to satisfy their needs, their desires, their loves. Sometimes people are looking for a job, but they don't put their faith, real understanding, and relationship in the Word of God. They say, perhaps I'll get a job. Maybe I'll get a job. Let me tell you, you got to speak those things that read not of the word. You got to speak what God say you got to do. When God speaks the word, it's a done deal. God said, I said that I am and I am. That's that. See, Jesus Christ had to come to the earth. He had to learn obedience. When you read the Bible over in the book of New Testament, the Bible said he had to learn confidence. Jesus Christ had to learn. The man had to learn it. God made no difference. He had to go through the same thing we went through. He had to get hungry. He had to sweat. He had to cry. He had to believe, but he did it for us. When I take note of what God is saying, when I take and see what God is saying to me, we're looking for some person. I just want to shout hallelujah. And when I say this, it depends on our government. When I went to the doctor, I go there for the checkup. I was praying. I said, Lord, all of my organs need to be succinct with your word. I began to pray and pray and pray and pray and believe what God says. Because I have a problem-solving device. It's called faith and hope. But it takes time. Every day, you got to say something. I walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is everlasting. Faith is now. I speak those things and be not by faith. It's by faith. And the more we look at something, the more when we start seeing what God is saying, when we're depending on God, we're in the process of being blessed. A lot of people don't want to understand, but I'm going to call you, tell you, as my brother said, if I may piggyback, I'm going to just say, I want you to pray for me. Can I help you? Can I show you how to pray for yourself? What? No, you pray for me. No. You got to learn how to pray for yourself. Then they're going to get angry at you. They're going to get all upset at you. Why? I thought you was a praying preacher. Yeah, I am a praying preacher. But I want to teach you how to be a praying preacher too. No, I don't want to preach, but I'm going to teach you how to be a praying man. Well, but I got so much I got to do. See, everybody that's not God-driven, faith-driven, they have an excuse of doing what they want to do. When you take time to see what God is saying to you, you take your ever-loving time that you have on this earth, man. And I do, because the more I look at it, some of us say we have we have a three-dimensional person. Sometimes we can be reading and writing and hearing what somebody's saying, but they kind of say that we got some problems. We're autistic. Well, no, we're not, because we know how to call on God at the same time and praise the Lord and say to the Holy Ghost, thank you. God gave it that way to us. I want to just say to somebody listening to me right now, stop depending upon your mother. Stop depending upon your father. Stop depending on everybody around you. Ask God, take your time to get some faith-building exercise inside of you. Start, if you don't know Jesus, say, Jesus, I come to you today. I need you. I've heard that you're a supplier. I heard that you can do things. Now I want that experience. And guess what? The more God sees the sincerity of your heart, the more the Holy Jesus is going to come in. He's going to say, my brother, I want to take it to the Father. Good God Almighty. When you take it to the Father, you're going to be face to face. When I was saying, you can bask in his love. Hallelujah, somebody. You can bask in his time. You can bask in his presence. You can see what God the Father is saying through Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the ultimate price. So he comes as he says, being happy. He said, I want you to be happy. Be happy in the person who trusts in me. The Lord is confidence. He shall be like a tree. Now he talks about this tree in the water. I want you to read Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 8. Being made happy is the person who trusts in the Lord. Therefore, the Lord is his confidence. He made like a tree being planted by the water. When you look at a tree, you're looking at something green. You're looking at water. Water has a reference to the Bible doctrine. Water makes the word grow. Water makes the tree grow. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Savior and our Savior and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here we go again, Jeremiah. See, the corn side, the knuckles of this stuff, he shall be like a tree being planted by the waters. By a stream, he will send out his root. What is he saying here? What is he saying? My God Almighty, we shall be planted as a tree by the water and by a stream. Water flows in a stream. He will send out his roots. And we look for that refreshment, that vibrance, the vitamins, the H2O, and what God is saying to us. Therefore, let me tell you something. The water, God Almighty, there's a difference between that water and the stream. Water is the entire canon. When you look at the scripture, you look at all what the Bible has said in the Bible canon. C-A-N-O, canon. I've got to say it right, canon. The stream of the Bible doctrine you are taught is a consistent, the more we taught, like Elder says, the more he teaches, the more he teaches. His roots, our roots, are problem-solving devices because to make the tree strong, the more we get, the more we get stronger with the stream, because the roots are always searching for the water, and they're nourishing it from him. What God is saying to us, God is saying to us as a whole, he said, when we take the tree, we got to become strong. He give us an example, and we look at it, and we see, it said, in Psalm 23, when we read the Psalm, he shall lead me beside the water. There's another word, lead me by the water, that water. And the water's not rattling and shaking because the sheep knows it needs water that it can drink down, it's mine. And the shepherd has to lead them. And God is saying, I will lead you and I will guide you. And I take, and your roots will follow where I said go. But many times we find today And I love the people. I love them, Father. I got some brothers and sisters. I want them to understand. My love for you brings your hope. My prayer for you brings you in. I want you to understand something else. Why are the believers being happy without fear? That's another question I want to raise. Why are the believers being happy without fear? Because we don't have any fear of God. The fear of God is faith. When you read the book of Psalms or Proverbs, you're going to find it. Fear. Fear has faith in God. Fear alone. Now, when you got fear, man, I don't know about that, man. Let me show you something. Fear alone can be guilt and emotional complex of sin. Oh, my God, I just went out last night and I had some sex with that woman, had some sex with that man. I went out and robbed the place last night. I cussed somebody out. I shot that person. I did this. But God's saying to you, you're not happy because you got the heat. That's what Jeremiah wrote when the Holy Spirit told him. Therefore, in addition, he does not fear when heat comes, when all those negative vibrations come, because sin cannot harbor there. Sin cannot live there. What is God saying to me? Heat is the outside pressure of the adversary, and the adversary, the devil, he's going to put pressure on you. You know you can't do that. For the problem solver device is the defense line of the soul. That's why we have to have faith involved. It prevents that outside pressure and stresses our soul. See, there are a lot of people today are being stressed in life, and they're being stressed. Why are they being stressed? Because they have fear of God. God said, approach me through Jesus Christ. Now, don't you act a crazy person try to go up there and say, God, I demand you speak to me. No. God's going to say, I hear you, I see, but I can't answer you. What is God saying? He said, I sent you a device. I sent you a safety. I sent you something where you can hear what I'm saying. I sent you Jesus Christ. He can hear your call. He can prevent, he can take it to the way. In other words, when we deal with the adversaries of life and fear, no one can ever be molded by guilt. The problem-solving device moves guilt. That is, the faith of God removes everything. How does, question again, therefore he does not fear when he comes. Jeremiah 8 is the C part of it. Heat, here we go again. Heat is an outside pressure of the adversary. For the problems or devices on the defense line of the soul prevents the outside pressure of adversary from becoming the inside pressure of stress. That sounds very complicated, but it's not. Inside, outside, inside, outside. When you see what God is saying, pressure of stress in the soul, but the more pressure you get on the inside of the soul, you have a faith device thing that will stop you, will back you up. But on the outside, you have fear of guilt. Hallelujah. Grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Correction. Grow and knowledge. Grow in the grace of our Lord. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to just, as I continue to teach you, though, thank you. And to evangelize, how does, therefore he does not fear when faith comes. He is an outsider, I said that. But I want to say, the greater, the unrealistic, enthusiastic, with unrealistic expectation. The greater the greater the disappointment. What are you saying? I thought I was going to get it. I couldn't get it. I looked like I could get it. Something just happened. But the greater disappointment follows delusion. many times almost a delusion and reaction. Disappointment always exists in the human history. When you expect it from the Lord, you're never disappointed. That's my point. I can't do nothing but trust in what God is saying. It looks like ain't nothing gonna happen, but I have to trust in Him. My expectation. I expect for God because I've come to know His Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I say it to you, speaking to your soul. Now, I want to talk to you about, I first talked to you about the water and the tree. I want to talk to you about the leaves. Leaves are a metaphor for the problem-dissolving device in your soul. It's always green. Our souls are never dry. It is applying the problem-solving devices. What am I saying? He does not worry in a year of depression. Jeremiah 17:8. He does not worry in the year of depression, and he will never fail to bear fruit. What are we saying? We go out there and preach the word, teach the word, understand the word, what God is saying. The fruit is the invisible impact of the believer growing in grace, functioning under the word, under the very own spiritual life. We get executing the protocol, plan of God, God protocol for the ages to come, will bring fruit for us today. It's an invisible impact of the invisible hero. It's what God is doing in us and by us. What does it mean to people have a vision? When you see what God is saying to those of us who have a vision, God is saying, what does it mean to have a vision? When we look at it, we put the writing of the message of the prophets of Israel, not the Gentiles, not the Greeks, but the Hebrews, specifically to the message that was recorded as a part of God's word. Let us get a vision. I tell everybody, I thank God for Israel. I thank God what God is doing for Israel. I thank God what God has done. Now, there's some wrong done in Israel. Everybody got to pay the price. But you can't go around jumping on God's people. Let God do it all. All we got to do is pray for them, believe for them, tell them how much you love them. Because I made a vow, if I can ever come out of where I was, that I will never try to go back. How many times I made a mistake? I will even count the blocks to believe God, because God heard my prayer. When I see the parish let loose, run wild, I'm not physical die, but I want to say something. We that understand to be out of hand, the loose, the people perish, where there is no divine communication, no Bible doctrine. Why do we see this? My God, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18. The people perish. They just loose. Why? Because in the churches that they supposed to be, can be, want to be, they perish. Why do I find the Bible I got to get permission from my pastor to go out and preach the word? Where do I find it in the Bible? If you can prove it to me, I will say you got it. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm glad I heard. When I heard you speaking of the word of God, and see, some of these supposed, one day I'm going to talk about the different churches, 10 different churches with all their doctrines. The reason why they're losing so many people and they got big bills, don't want to pay nobody. And they got, see, when you got to sell food at the church, something wrong with that. Jesus didn't sell no food. He fed them. He just stood to the tent and said, Father, what I have, would you bless it? God bless it. And food came there. And fish came. Bread came. Why, there is no divine communication. I want you to understand something. This is not from the White House. This is not from the government, not a Senate, not a Supreme Court. This is from God. Why, there is no divine communication. A Bible doctrine of the Torah, the people perish. Of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, of the Proverbs, of the Psalms, of the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. The people perish. Why? Because no nation can serve long without having a national crisis. We live in a time right now. We got this young man over there in North Korea. He's confused because he don't have no biblical teaching. He's not stupid. He just don't care because he has it this way. He's at the top of the heap. So I would say this in closing to us tonight. When we sharing happiness of God, God happiness and contentment come all through applying divine wisdom and adversary to prosperity. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you until we all come back again. One thing I will say to you, what God is saying, the United States of America needs prayer. Religious freedom depends upon separation from church and state. We have to be different from the state and the church. When you read Matthew 22 and 21, Romans 13 and 1, you find that Christians cannot be focused on people. Christianity must be optional. The first half of the option is to hear the gospel respond. Here's what the word says in John 3:36. He who believes on the Son of Christ has eternal life. My God. And here's what the word says also. To hear the other half of the option, he who believes not believe shall be shall not see life, but the wrath of God abide in him. See, that's what it says. There's a phrase of option one, option two. When you see what God is saying, God is so in love with all of us. He's in love with me, and I'm in love with him. As I put it on Facebook, when we take God at what he's saying to us, we got to come into the ship. Get off to, I got it, I'm going to, I must, I see, I don't. God loves people. But he wants people to come to understand who he is. It's through his son, Jesus Christ, that he's saying it. My son, he gave his life. He came down. He gave his life. That's my son. Can you believe that? Remember these words. Tonight you can say, Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior because you're the one who made me to know who I am. And I thank you. In whom do I trust? I trust in you, Father. I thank you for everything you have done for me. And I want you to know I come to say, Jesus Christ, I receive you as my Savior. I've heard that you can do so many things. I've heard you can say so much. But I want to thank you, Father. And I want to thank you for a man that's passed on and gone, R.B. Finn. Study his word sometimes, or hear his word, but most of what the Heavenly Father is saying. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, my brother. How you doing?
I'm good, doctor. How you doing?
All right, go right ahead.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bishop Chopin, and I pray that all is well with you tonight. And let me take it off of the speaker in the car and let me talk on the phone. Good evening, everybody. This is Bishop Chopin. Can you hear me better now? Dr. Hunter, can you hear me? Hello, everybody. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Go ahead.
You don't have any feedback, doctor? Okay. I want to take it off of the Bluetooth.
Okay. Go ahead.
How about now? Is it better? I took off everything.
It's better.
Okay. I'd like to talk with you all about Mother's Day. We just celebrated Mother's Day this past Sunday. I greeted all of you last Wednesday. We talked about the impending holiday of Mother's Day. I want to talk about Mother's Day again today, and there's a reason for it. Mother's Day was last Sunday. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Mother's Day as a holiday formulated in 1914 by Woodrow Wilson. He decided that we should set one day aside to honor our mothers, and it's celebrated all over the world in most countries in May. I want to say to you today that Mother's Day shouldn't just be one day a year that's set aside. That every day our mothers, whether they're alive or whether God has called them home, every day we think about our moms should be Mother's Day, because mothers are just that special. Sunday, I preached a word about Mother's Day, and I talked about a mother in the Bible. I went to the book of Samuel in the first chapter, and I told the brothers and the sisters about a woman named Hannah, the wife of Elkanah. You can find it in the book of Samuel. It says that this woman was one of two wives. She was the wife, and there was another wife of Elkanah named Peninnah. And the Bible says that Peninnah had sons and daughters for Elkanah, but that Elkanah, like Sarai, and like Rachel, and like others in the Bible, others in Jesus' family, was barren and she had no children. And how Elkanah would do sacrifices every year. And when you make these sacrifices, it says how he would take a bull and sacrifice it, and he would give meat to his sons and his daughters and to his wives. In the book of Samuel, it said that Elkanah gave a double portion to his wife, Hannah, because he loved her just that much. And yet she was still downcast. She was still sad. But it says that Elkanah asked her, you know what, why is your face downcast? And why are you looking so sad? He said to his wife, don't you love me more than 10 sons? She was sad, my brothers and sisters, because she couldn't have any children. And the other wife, Peninnah, would tease her and aggravate her to the point that she would be in tears. The Bible says that she went to the temple one day and she was crying. And her lips were moving, but no words were coming out. And when Eli the priest saw her, he supposed that she was drunk, and he really scolded her. And she said to him that she wasn't drunk off of beer or even wine, that she was talking to God, even though her lips weren't moving, and I'm paraphrasing, because she was pouring out her soul to God. That's what she told Eli. And when she told him that, Eli said to her, God bless her, and that may her prayers be answered. It goes on to say in that scripture that Elkanah made love to his wife and she became pregnant. She had their son Samuel. And after the boy was born, she promised, even before he was born, she promised God while she was praying in the temple, before Eli spoke to her, that if she ever had a child, that she would give that child back to God who gave it to her in the first place, who loaned it to her and to her husband. And so she brought that child back after she went back to the temple. And she turned that child over to Eli. She also promised to never cut his hair. Samuel, as you all know, became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Elkanah was a mother just like many of you. She was a mother who was probably one of the most selfless mothers that I could ever think of. Elkanah figured out something a long time ago, even before she ever delivered Samuel. And that is, mothers and fathers, that our children and our grandchildren and our husbands and our wives and our friends, and whom our whatevers. None of us belong to each other. Even as parents, our children don't belong to us. And I've shared that with you before. Elkanah figured out, finally, that what we all know, that we all belong to God, and that God just loans us to each other, as I've said to you before, for just a little while. So that Elkanah was a mother who was selfless. When our kids grow up, moms, we've got to be just as wise as Hannah was. And we have to realize that when they grow up, They're not like little sheep. They're not helpless. They've got a free will, and they're grown. We've got to let them go. We've got to, even when they're messing up, even when they're drugging, even when they're drinking, even when they're prostituting, even when they're dancing on strip poles, even when they're making decisions that we wouldn't want them to make, whatever they're doing in life, we need to realize that as much as we love them and want only the best for them, that we have to give them back to the God who gave them to us in the first place, because they don't really belong to us. They were only on loan. And the same is true with us when it comes to our moms. We've got to realize that God loans us our mothers and our fathers only for a season. And that when the time comes, we have to get our moms and we have to give them back up to God, because, again, God loaned them to us also.
Are you there? Hello? Are you there?
Mary, sister. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
I said I talked about other mothers in the Bible who weren't as selfless as Hannah was. I talked about Mary's older sister, Mary, the mother of James and John. How, unlike Hannah, she said to Jesus that she wanted one of her sons, James, to sit on Jesus' right hand and the other one on the left when he went back to heaven to be with God. So she wasn't selfless. She sounded selfish. But when I thought about it, our moms sometimes are selfish, because when we love people, it's natural to be selfish. I'm sure that my mother will want the same thing for me. And Dr. Hunter, I'm sure that your mom in heaven, if she's not here on earth anymore, would want the same thing for you, that you would also be in heaven with Jesus.
Amen.
So that sometimes our moms are selfish, and that's okay. Because when we love somebody, being selfish isn't right, but being selfish is human. Okay? And we're all selfish with the people that we love. And when we love somebody, it's natural that we would only want the best thing for them. So I thought about that mom who was selfish, unlike Hannah. And then I thought about another mother. I thought about a 12-year-old girl named Mary, a virgin who never knew a man, who was the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And in the book of Luke, in chapter 1, in chapter 1 of Luke, it talks about Mary and how an angel appeared to her and told her how she had found favor with God. And at only 12 to 14, she was really, really young, but she was mature enough to know to be obedient. When the angel told her that, she said, "Let it be as you say." And she had our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And again, she was only a child when she had him. But she loved God. And when I thought about this 12 to 14-year-old, I thought about another story in the Bible. How about when Jesus was about 12 years old? That would have made Mary 26 or 28. How when he went to Jerusalem one day to do the annual pilgrimage in the temple, how when they left after the celebration that Jesus got separated from the rest of the family, and how they realized after two or three days he wasn't with the relatives that were behind. They went back to Jerusalem, they found him in the temple. Oh, I know all of you remember the story. And Joseph, the father, didn't say a word. And that's not like most of us men, because we have a lot to say. But it wasn't Joseph who scolded Jesus. It was Mary, his mother, who scolded him and asked him why he had him so worried. And it was Jesus who told Mary, "I'm about my father's business. Why were you looking for me, and why were you worried? I was about my father's business." And what is my point in telling you this? That mothers also worry about us, and they pray for us. And mothers or whatever are the ones who oftentimes discipline us, as was the case in Mary. So there are all kinds of mothers, and I can tell you about others in the Bible. I can tell you about the mother of Moses, who loved her baby child so much that instead of seeing him killed like all the other babies, she put him in the river, okay? And he was picked up, we know, by the Pharaoh's daughter. So there's all kinds of selfless mothers. There's all kinds of heroes in the Bible that I can tell you about. But Dr. Hunt, I don't have to go back to the Bible 2,000 or 4,000 years ago. I can tell you about moms right now that we know. I can tell you about good mothers who love their sons, like Apostle Limbrick, who loves her son and her daughter, both of her sons and her daughter. And I know how she prays for her sons every day and how she's on her face. She's on her face every day praying for her sons, and even for me, as her son in the ministry, in the gospel. So she, too, is selfless and faithful to God. And I'm sure that she prays for me and her two sons as much as we pray for our children. So they're all kind of mothers. And again, we don't have to go to the gospel. I know the same thing can be said for Pastor Love and for her son and her daughter, that she prays for them. She worries and she prays for them. And I can think about my own late mother, who I know was praying for me even when I was thousands of miles away and overseas. My mom always prayed for me. So I don't have to just go to the Bible. to think about mothers. And when I think about mothers, ladies, I want you to know I think about how special you are to God. And I think about how you have some of the same gifts that Jesus had. Because, Dr. Hunter, when I was a young boy growing up in Louisiana, when it was time to eat, my mother would take, if it was just 1 pound of red beans and a couple of fish, my mom would take that those red beans and she would put water and she'd stretch it out. And other mothers in my neighborhood, my aunts and my friends, my friends' mom, when it was time to eat in the evening or at lunchtime, they would make us go home. My mother would take whatever we had, and she had six children, and she would stretch it, and all of my friends and I all ate. And when I think about my mom and how she did magic, how she did a miracle, I think about Jesus and how he took those two loaves and those two fish and those five barley loaves and how he fed 5,000. My mother, I thought, was just like Jesus, and she was my hero because I saw her stretch not only the beans, whatever, for my friends, but I saw her do the same thing with shrimp stew and others for me and my six brothers and sisters. So mothers are very, very special. Mothers, we all have two eyes on our heads and we wear glasses, but my mom, my mother could see through the door when she'd tell me, what y'all doing in there? And she already knew we were doing even my unlocked doors when I was fighting my brothers and hitting them and misbehaving. Mothers have eyes on the side of their head and the back of their head. They have an intuition that when things aren't going right with you, just like with Jesus when he talked about to Nathaniel and he saw him under the fig tree before he ever got to him. And Nathaniel, I told you, was impressed. Our mothers have the same sixth sense that even Jesus had, that when they can sense when things aren't right. All of those things that I'm talking about, that all of these things are gifts, gifts that God gives to each and every body that he allows to be a mother. And I want to say to you, ladies, that a mother isn't just the one who has an egg and who has a child that comes out of the womb. That some of you are mothers even though you never had a child because you've been a mother to a nephew or a niece or a stranger. A mother, a mom, is somebody who has that loving touch that encourages and loves and prays and protects. That's what a real mom is. Anybody who can have a child can be a mother, but not everybody can be a mom. And again, we celebrated Mother's Day this past Sunday. But again, my mom went to be with God on September 16, 1998. But I still think about it all the time. And so that every day, as I said to you all before, not just one day that's set aside in May, whether it be you being Canada or the United States or some other country. To every mom on the phone, I want you to know that every day that we wake up and we think about you, even if you're no longer walking and breathing, that every day we think about you, that you're still alive in our heart, and that every day we think on you and the things that you've done for us and the love that you've given and the love that you've shared and the way that you taught us to love, not only God, but our fellow man, our brothers and our sisters, that gift of love that God gave you and that you so freely gave to us makes every day that we think about you all Mother's Day. And that's what I want to talk about today. Tomorrow, the final thing I want to say to you all, Dr. Hunter, is that on Mother's Day, on this past Sunday, after the celebration, I was at my daughter's house and I got a phone call. And one of our mothers of our church, Mama Rosa, who was 90 years old, God spared her because we expected God to call her home a week ago when she was in ICU. And when I walked into the hospital from her deathbed, she looked at me and she said, "Son, you look tired." And that made me know and made me decide that day that I wouldn't work as much or as hard. Well, at 11:02, one of our ministers, that's a part of our ministry, her grandmother went to sleep after being with her children all day. And so I know that they're sad, and I know that they'll be sad, and they'll be going to mourn and grieve on Friday. And you know what? Some people might think that Mother's Day was a rough time. And I thought about it when I was at the hospice place. How from now on Mother's Day, they'll remember that that's the day that God called their mom home. I'm going to miss Mother Rosa. I'm going to miss her smile. I'm going to miss kissing her. I'm going to miss talking to her. But when I think about Mother's Day from this point, I want to think about Mother Rosa. I think about how God gave her a good gift. God gave Mother Rosa Williams her wings on Mother's Day after allowing her to stay with her children all day until 2 minutes after 11 at night. And so that she got her gift. And although her kids and I and everybody who knew her and loved her are going to miss her, she's with God now. So what better present to receive on Mother's Day than the gift of knowing that from this point on for eternity, Mother Rosa is going to be smelling flowers from this point on for eternity in heaven's gardens. So happy Mother's Day today to each and every mom that's on the phone. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. So the line is now open.
All right. Let's see, we got a call on the line here. Let's see what'll come on. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You got a word? Amen. Got a question? Brother Chapin says he's talking about Mother's Day, past Mother's Day. And we thank God for what he's talking about. We thank God for what he's saying. And praying to God that somebody understands him here about the mothers. How when you study, you go back and look at Mary. She was 15 according to the Jewish calendar. And her age, she was a virgin. But when you look back at the women in the Bible, Hannah and all of them, Hannah said, if you give me a son, I give him back to you. That's the first indication of a woman's sincerity. And watch her son become the first prophet of God. But the greatest prophet that God had, Jesus came along and said, there's no other prophet like John. Amazing how he was born of a mother. A woman, a man of that age, but God. God can do anything he decides to do if we permit him to do it. It's faith bearing seed. Amen.
Amen.
I got 21:25. You got a question you want to say, a statement, a question you want to talk about? Amen. Are you there?
No, I'm just listening. I'm just listening. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to hear you. Great subject. I'm in transit, so I'm just listening.
Okay.
Are you a mother, well, sister? Are you a mom, sister?
This is Reverend Prince's Love, Brother Keith.
Okay. How you doing? How you doing, mother? How you doing, Elder Love? God bless you, my dear.
I'm blessed. Yes, I am a mother. I am a mother of two and grandmother of eight. Thank God. Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. Happy Mother's Day again to you, too. Every day that I wake up and see you is Mother's Day, Elder Love. So happy Mother's Day again. Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen.
Well, let me ask some questions, everybody, while we listen on that radio today. Now, when we look around the world, who is the mother of us all?
Jesus is our mother and our father and our sister and our brother. He's all of our moms and dads and everything else.
Who is the mother of Jerusalem? Let me ask it this way. When we find what's going on in the world, North Korea, South Korea, Russia, Israel, America, down south in Mexico, who is the mother of all that negativism?
I don't know, Dr. Hunter. Tell us.
That's Satan. He is the mother. He's the father. He's the mother of all those lies. Negativism is of the enemy. And the women who go along with him are nothing but negative. And the negative, he's always saying something. As we said many times, he's nothing but a lie. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. He's a liar right now. And he go out and he kind of soothsay and whisper to the women, you know, your son, mother, and they went to get them to do what they got to say. Amen. Amen. But I find these words. Every believer in Jesus Christ has to understand, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you ain't going to get to heaven. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Anybody else?
Amen.
Amen.
Good, Sister Esther.
Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm here. I'm here and listening. How's everybody today?
We're blessed. You're blessed, Mother. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Amen.
We have to know that we win in spite of all of the attacks, what they do, whatever. We win. We got the victory because Jesus Christ paid the price 5,000 years so far. We have blood. Mm-hmm. So these are attacks and trials and illness. It's just an attack. We've got to rise up and keep going.
Amen.
So the devil gonna be here until Jesus comes. So it's no sense us getting along about him. He's on our feet.
Amen. But you know, one thing I found out during the day, when we find, and I'm changing this, may I change the subject to Japan?
I'm sorry, Bishop. Doctor. Say again.
I said, may I change the subject for just a moment?
Oh yeah, you certainly may. I've said everything I wanted to say. But change it wherever you want it to be.
No, it's your program. I want to follow suit. One of the things I find out: how can we have a man who says he's the leader of a free world and instead of tell all these lies, getting all this money behind his back, and the senators know what he's doing? They're going to have to get ZTE, the biggest. You're going to go behind the back and say they didn't do nothing, but the people say they were spying on the American people. Does this man really care about America? No. Does this man want to see America succeed? No. Does he want to see John Dong Yong Woo succeed? No. He wants what he wants. So we got to pray for him. Do we pray for him or let him loose? Do we pray for him or let him loose? My question.
Amen. And two things. We're going to have to always remember this. We are the warriors. And it's two things going to be here till Jesus comes. And one is what I just told you was about faith. And the other one is racism. And yes, we get on the TV and we talk about it. We want to see deliverance. We want it to come down in our generations and generations. But then we have to look up and say, thank you, Lord, because he brought us a mighty long way. And until he comes, we're going to always be fighting against those racist isms, because there's still people that have it, and they teach it to their children.
Amen.
So
we
have to walk against it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do we walk against it? Esther, how do we walk against it?
Prayer, like we have to do everything else. You know, and like starting your own house first, you have to make your children and grandchildren and children understand. And even in school, you got to prepare them that they go to school, that some of their parents are teaching the white kids different, but your kids go already had an understanding that this is what it is. So, yeah, it hurts as a black person. It hurts. But we got to realize, look where we have already came from. Look at what God has done for us. Like, right now, any of us could go to any restaurant we want to and sit down and eat and whatever we want. But look where we came from. Where our kids today don't know about that. Unless we jump.
Amen.
You see?
Amen.
And we keep on praying. We just keep on praying and knocking the devil out. I don't think trying to start a route and all of that will help. And the Bible is not the answer. Prayer is the answer.
Prayer, Mother Esther, prayer and each of us showing love, the love of God.
Yes.
You know what? Each of us showing love. We don't respond to hatred with hatred. We respond to it with love.
Right.
And if people won't change, that's between them and God. But don't let man, don't let the evil, wicked heart of another man corrupt our hearts. So we do have our own example
right.
of loving each other and loving our brothers and our sisters.
Amen.
And that's not always easy.
And I agree. I really agree. I declare and decree that we at On the Line, we're going to make the difference. You know, it's an old
Amen.
Song that I think his name used to say, if there's going to be a change in this world, it's the change going to have to come between me and you. Wake up.
Yes.
Oh, I know that's the song. Wake up, everybody. So wake up. Wake up. Look around in your own neighborhood. Look around in some of your family. Look around and see, aren't some of us prisoners too? You know?
Because yes.
we're still
yes.
talking about what happened from the old time and what have you. Yeah, we all, I mean, I know I've been through, I'm 80 years old, so I know. I know how we've been discriminated against. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you're still standing.
But look
yes,
thank
ma'am.
God for where we are now. I remember
That's
when you
right.
couldn't go, you go downtown to, y'all may not know about Woodsworth and Crest, and you couldn't
uh-huh.
even sit at the counter and drink a cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
I know about Woolworths. I know about Woolworths, Apostle. There was a Woolworths back in New Orleans, also on Canal Street. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
And I used to just walk by and be shopping. I would want to sit down, but hey, you know. So, back to your question, Dr. Hunter.
Yes.
Only thing we're going to have to do, Dr. Honey, is keep on praying and watch God intervene in his own way. He has a way to make a difference, and then he give us the understanding and the power to go through it. I'm more afraid of what I see coming in this next generation than I am about racism. I'm so afraid that the lesson is and stuff is going to get our generation coming because they just made it like it's nothing. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So when I was children go to school, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, one of the things I will say, we got about 90 seconds left. We want to thank God for tonight for this program. I want to thank everybody that's been on here. And I'm making some real changes. I want you to pray for me, believe me, until we come back again. God bless you. God keep you. Amen.
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 God bless you all, and good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.